And welcome to the Water Cooler, everybody. I'm David Brody. It is Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. And folks, the hyenas are circling. That's right, the hyenas are cackling. You hear them. And foaming at the mouth. In this case, we're talking about Democrats on Capitol Hill who are ready to impeach President Trump. They're like a pack of hyenas. But first order of business is a vote tonight where they will pass a resolution calling for Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment and have President Trump removed from office. Hey, by the way, newsflash, it ain't happening. My source is telling me Pence is not going to do that, so keep dreaming. Of course, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi knows this, and so tomorrow she and her impeaching-friendly Democrat colleagues will once again vote to impeach the president. What in the world's going on here? The Democrats are now treating impeachment like naming a post office. Just all in a day's work over there in the House. As for the president, he's speaking out today once again against the violence that happened January 6th and on this latest attempt to impeach him.
As far as this is concerned, we want no violence, never violence. We want absolutely no violence. And on the impeachment, it's really a continuation of the greatest witch hunt in the history of politics. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. This impeachment is causing tremendous anger, and you're doing it, and it's really a terrible thing that they're doing. For Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to continue on this path, I think it's causing tremendous danger to our country, and it's causing tremendous anger. I want no violence. Thank you very much.
I want no violence. I want no violence is what he says. We should point out that he made those remarks at the White House before he left for Texas on a trip to the border wall. When he spoke to reporters down in Texas, he said his remarks in the hours after the riot were, quote, totally appropriate. So he's definitely not backing down. And let's be honest, did we really expect him to back down? Let's bring in Jordan Seculo now with the American Center for Law and Justice and one of the president's attorneys. Jordan, appreciate you coming back on the show.
Thanks, David.
So what can you tell us about this upcoming impeachment vote? And will there even be a trial at this point?
So the vote, I mean, I think it's a done deal that they're going to have this vote Wednesday. I think the only question about tomorrow is how many Republicans join. That will be what's different from the last time around. That one of the main things that will be different is that this won't be probably a completely partisan impeachment. I think a lot of that will have to do, what I'm hearing is that we're from our government affairs team at the ACLJ, is that anywhere between 20 to 25 House Republicans could be joining in this effort to impeach on this article, even though there will be no hearings in the House Judiciary Committee on speech and the First Amendment and whether or not this was incitement to violence and whether or not this was incitement to, again, to cause this violence. And that's a very difficult legal standard in court. But of course, impeachment is not the same kind of legal standards as court. So, but they're not even having that. They're just going right to the vote. And so we all know they've got the votes. And the big question for me is how many Republicans will join? And then what happens next? Because in the U.S. Senate, we're not going to see Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer agree to an emergency session. So this trial will not begin until after the president has left office. And there's a real constitutional question about whether or not the U.S. Senate has the power to try an impeachment, which is their power under the Constitution, but of an officer or a president in this case that is no longer in office. And do they have any jurisdiction there? The big question, though, is the second big question is, will courts get involved in that question? And that will remain to be seen. So as you see, I think the president was right. This causes more divisiveness, causes more legal battles, and it keeps him right in the forefront of the news.
Yeah. So, Jordan, just so I understand, I mean, the average American is going to think, what in the world? How can Democrats convict or potentially convict? I don't think they're going to convict him. But how could they even have a trial when he's no longer president? That doesn't seem to make any sense to people.
Yeah, I mean, there's a legal argument on the other side. And now this has never been adjudicated. There's not a court case to point to. So, and there might not ever be. This may just be up to the Senate. But there's an argument. It goes back to something that John Adams said. And he said, you know, I can always be held liable by my colleagues for my term in public office, including when I was president. He made that comment. And they point to the fact that you should not be able to run out the clock and then escape impeachment because there wasn't enough time if you committed acts that were impeachable offenses. later in term, and there just wasn't enough time because of the benefits that come attached to being an ex-president, which is the stipend, a travel budget, Secret Service protection. And now what we're not talking about, of course, though, when you've only served one term, is the ability to run for office again. You can be disqualified under impeachment from seeking federal office again. And Nancy Pelosi has said that's one of her driving factors. The problem is here, David, I think this is horrendous for the country, regardless of what side you're on. I think Joe Manchin is absolutely right when he said this is ill-advised, because I can't figure out how Democrats think they're going to get 17 Republicans. I could see 5, 6, 7, 8, but 17 Republicans to join them in the U.S. Senate to convict. So you won't get a conviction. He'll be acquitted again. And you keep this focus, you keep this division in the country. This is not a good thing for the country, regardless of what you believe. If you believe the president, that his remarks were totally fine, or if you believe those supporting impeachment that believe that he incited violence and insurrection.
Jordan, I want to play you Alan Dershowitz. He was on the program yesterday. We asked him about what he thought of impeachment. But before we get to that, I wanted to just double check something with what you said. I shouldn't say double check. You said 20 to 25 Republicans is what you're hearing that could vote for impeachment. That's a pretty strong rebuke coming from the Republican Party. I mean, Kevin McCarthy's got to be figuring out what in the world he can do over there.
Well, it's interesting. Our report from our government affairs team, and this is the ACLJ's government affairs team in D.C., is that they're not whipping this vote on the Republican side. Mm-hmm. So right now they're somewhere around 20. That could rapidly decrease or increase based off two people, Nancy Pelosi and President Trump. Whatever he says and does in the next 24 hours, whatever she says and does in the next 24 hours, I think she's going to try to push Republicans away. I don't think she wants a bipartisan impeachment, actually, because that hurts the political point of why they're even doing this, which is to try to say, see, Republicans wouldn't even support this when he incited violence and attack on a Capitol, even when it was an attack on them.
Jordan, I want to play that Alan Dershowitz soundbite. And when we play this, this is the way I want to set it up, because we were talking about impeachment and how Trump supporders are now going to be ostracized and deplatformed and all of this. And, you know, the blacklisting, if you will, has begun. I want you to hear what he says about McCarthyism as it relates to this.
Sure.
Are you suggesting, as it relates to what's happening on social media and what's happening to the president on Twitter and a lot of other things about Cruz and Hawley, are you suggesting McCarthyism is alive and well again?
It's not only alive and well, it's better than ever. It's stronger than ever. Because when I was a young man, we fought McCarthyism. There were two sides to the issue. President Eisenhower stood up against it. The dean of the Harvard Law School stood up against it. Today, nobody is standing up against this form of McCarthyism because they're afraid. If you look, I'm a liberal Democrat. I don't support all of President Trump's policies. I support some and not others, as I do with any president. But I am now tagged as somebody who is pro-Trump, and therefore I can't do this or that. I'm being canceled.
Jordan, the danger in America, freedom of speech under direct attack.
It is. And to happen to people like Professor Dershowitz, who, again, admittedly, they are people who are just arguing on principle, politically would not even be with the president. You know, he joined our impeachment team the first time around with the same argument, saying that, you know, if this, I was against this when you took this action against Bill Clinton, and I'm against this when you're taking this action against Donald Trump. But see, that's not enough anymore for the cancel crowd. And you know, it's one thing if you're a conservative and you've been a conservative to kind of go through the battles. But what we're seeing now is having to worry about our ability to get our message out being taken away. In platforms, by the way, not just on places like Parler, which were new, but in platforms like in Facebook and Twitter, which organizations like the ACLJ, sure, Just the News, where we're talking to right now, I mean, that we invest in with advertising, with funds, and they financially benefit from groups like us. But yet we have seen their willingness to, if you will, deplatform, take us, silence some of us, and then deplatform any kind of competitors, which to me, it's the whole purpose of that law that they love, of Section 230, which gives them that that ability to kind of not be liable for what gets posted. But yet it also, they don't get treated like news outlets. And yet they are using deplatforming to stop competitors like Parler, and saying, well, because they're not monitoring enough. Now, they're new. They don't have as much money. It takes them more time to build up so that they can monitor content and get down content that is illegal, that is that shouldn't be up there. But they all have that Section 230 protection they love, except for when it applies to a competitor. So I think this is a bigger battle than just conservative and liberal. It is like Professor Dershowitz said, speech versus the cancel culture, and our First Amendment versus the cancel culture.
Yeah, and Jordan, I've got about 30 seconds left. What kind of impact are you seeing of either on Twitter or Facebook or any of these platforms? Has that hit you guys yet?
It hasn't hit. I definitely lost followers on Twitter, like everybody did. You know, significant amount of followers. I think I probably, you know, like 15,000 or 20,000 overnight. You know, just disappeared. We were starting to utilize Parler a lot more. And of course, that is not usable at the moment because they got deplatformed. Are we more? I wouldn't say that we're cautious, and we tell the truth on our broadcasts and our what we do at the ACLJ. But it's terms we know they're looking for, and as attorneys, we want to make sure also that we're able to get our message out so that we're able to help people in need. So they're looking for like these certain terms and words, and that's who they're canceling. That's who they're shutting down. We had to handle this for people in the past, David. It's getting harder now.
Right. Jordan Seculo, great to have you back on the show. Great insight as always. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, David.
All right. Jordan Seculo becoming a weekly guest, which we like, by the way. We love. We don't like it. We love it. Nathan Gonzalez, the editor of Inside Elections, when we come back.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Boy, the future of the Republican Party, what is going to happen, wait for it, in the future? Because I just said that. I'm very redundant. Let's bring in Nathan Gonzalez, the editor of Inside Elections. Nathan, we've known each other a while. Great to see you, sir.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, so let's start with that question. The Republicans have a lot to sift through here in this post-age of Trump coming up, at least, if we can all get through it. What are some of your big main storylines going forward as to what we should look for here?
Well, I think before we talk about the Republican Party of the future, we have to look at what the Republican Party is right now. Mm. You know, I know on Wednesday at the rally before the march to the Capitol, Donald Trump Jr. was declaring, you know, this isn't, you know, you're the old Republican Party. This is Donald Trump's Republican Party. And Eric Trump on Fox News was talking about, you know, anger, how the family controls the party. And he was going to primary anyone who kind of went against the president. And I will agree that this is President Trump's Republican Party right now. He is the most popular Republican among Republican voters. And I think that is an important dynamic when we look at this, because all of these senators or members of the House on Capitol Hill, I think they understand that dynamic, that he is more popular than they are with their own voters. And so what does it look like for the future? To me, that is a much bigger question. And I think part of it has to do with what is the relevance of President Trump in the next 2 and 4 years? You know, it's easy to say that if we had a set of primaries today or in the next week, that he would exert this influence and cause voters to there to be a backlash against these Republican elected officials. But we're 2 years from the next set of elections. We're 4 years from the next presidential race. And I am not convinced that the president's coalition is transferable to another candidate. You know, the president has built a coalition, I think, that is around him. And when other people try to take it over or replicate it, I don't think it has shown that works.
I think you're absolutely right, Nathan. I think it is going to be interesting to see how much of that coalition holds together in primarying some of these Republican senators and congressmen. What's your take there?
Well, one of the things is it takes more than a tweet or more than a rally to defeat an incumbent. I mean, just looking, I've been following elections for 20 years now. It is tough to be an incumbent member of Congress. You have to have a lot of things go right. And I think that the Trump family or President Trump is going to have to prove that they have a not just a platform, but a kind of a viable campaign operation that they can target, you know, specific voters in districts in states. I'm wondering if the president has the attention span for some of this, you know, whether he is going to actually, I know he holds a grudge. He tends to hold grudges against people who don't do what he wants or he thinks has come that they have come after him. But does he have the attention span to really devote to knocking these members of Congress out? And you have to have challengers. You have to have credible individuals who probably have their own weaknesses. There's just a lot that has to go right. So I'm not ruling out the possibility that he is going to exert force or try to exert force on the Republican Party. I just think we have there's a long way to go. I can't even confidently say I know what's going to happen next week. Mm-hmm. And that is going to, I think, impact both his relevance, his legacy, and his influence over the Republican Party.
Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with that. I mean, everybody's talking about is he going to run in 2024. I mean, he's got to get through his presidency, first of all. Though you have to, I mean, I think everybody can pretty much agree that the way this is ending has no doubt tarnished any sort of legacy that he'll leave behind. Do you think he can recover from something like this in politics? I mean, it is Donald Trump after all.
Yeah, I mean, I've ruled out ruling things out. That's something I've been saying for 4 years now. I just think it's going to change. Let me put it this way. The president, I think, he sort of ruled over the Republican Party in part by fear. And what I mean is that fear, these Republican officials have been fearful of not only what he might do or say or tweet about them, but also fear of a backlash from voters, again, who like him more than they like them. Mm-hmm. Now it's become a little bit different just since Wednesday. There is a fear of physical, of something physical happening if they oppose the president. There's a freshman congressman, a Republican congressman named Peter Meyer, who was just elected in Michigan in November. And he talked about on Wednesday with the votes about objecting that he had an unnamed colleague who didn't agree that didn't think the election was stolen, but they were fearful for what might happen to their family if they oppose the president. And that is a new dynamic that really wasn't present, you know, just a few days ago. So I guess I start as skeptical that the president will be able to maintain a level of relevance and power without having an office, you know, for 2 years and for 4 years. But you know, I am open-minded about possibilities at this point.
Nathan, you've been, and I say this with all due respect, you've been doing this a long time.
I'm old, David.
Well, you see, I knew you were going to take it that way. But look, Senators Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz, obviously they're under the microscope. They're in the line of fire, so to speak. Maybe I shouldn't use that term, actually. But the point simply is, what about their future? What's your sense? Like I said, you've been in this a while. So do you think this is something they can ride out, or is this going to have some major repercussions in the future?
Well, first of all, we have to remember that they're not facing voters anytime soon. They're not up for re-election in 2022. It's actually 2024, at least at Cruz. I need to check on how. But they're not immediately going to be facing voters. And so whether they're running for re-election or they're going to run for president in 2024, we're still a ways out from that. And I think the big factor is, again, how are the events, not just the Trump presidency, but how are the events of last week, what happens during inauguration, and hopefully there isn't other instances of violence and chaos, but how do those events, what do they look like in retrospect, right?
Yeah.
And I think that these events that we're living through right now, when we get to 2 years, are going to be looked at through a much different prism than what we're seeing right now. I think that they believe they have taken this principled stand that will stand the test of time. It could go very much the other way.
Sure.
We just don't know.
Nathan Gonzalez with Inside Elections. Really appreciate your insight. Always great to see you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you again. Appreciate it.
All right. Nathan Gonzalez, by the way, he comes complete. My understanding is, Madison, you correct me if I'm wrong, but that Skype shot, I believe, goes with Nathan. It's a traveling Skype shot because that kitchen, very impressive, the chairs and everything. All right, when we come back, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, what's their approval ratings like? Back in a moment.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Nancy Pelosi, listen, hey, she's not that popular. Did you know that? Mitch McConnell, oh, this just in. He's not that popular either, and we've got the evidence to prove it. Let's bring in Daniel Payne, justthenews.com, senior reporter there. Daniel, always great to have you back on the show, sir.
Dave, good to be here. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, hey, so take us through some of these numbers. Let's put them up, actually. We can go through them together because I'd like more airtime. Just kidding. but it says, this was a Just the News poll. It says, please let me know if you have a favorable opinion of the following individuals. And why don't you take it from here, because it does look like McConnell and Pelosi are not faring too well.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that stands out from this poll is that Mitch McConnell, who until recently was the Senate Majority Leader, and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, both have significantly high unfavorability ratings by wide margins. And, you know, after 4 years of really contentious politics and, you know, bitter back and forth divide in the, you know, in the Trump era and Capitol Hill, what that seems to show is that a ton of voters really have very low opinions on the ability of these people to lead their respective parties. You're just not seeing the kind of confidence that you might expect in one side or the other, depending on your politics. After all this time of infighting and very very bitter debates on Capitol Hill, so it just seems to show a sort of nationwide dissatisfaction with the most prominent leaders of both parties.
You know, the Nancy Pelosi number doesn't necessarily shock me. The Mitch McConnell number is kind of interesting because, at least from a Republican standpoint, from a conservative standpoint, I mean, he's been on pretty much on the Trump train the whole time. As a matter of fact, when it comes to judges, when it comes to fighting at the Supreme Court, kind of the Brett Kavanaugh situation, I mean, he was kind of a lot of Republicans were willing to give him a pass and because he did so well on judges. But here at the end, it just has unraveled for him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that it shows that people are just in general angry at politicians. You know, Americans tend to really like their representatives and their senators. But when it comes to these folks that are at the forefront, that they probably see embodying what they view as the defects of the major parties, they're just going to bear the brunt of a lot of that negative opinion. And of course, this poll was conducted after the riot last week at the Capitol. So that very likely contributed to negative perceptions for both politicians one way or the other.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder what those Cruz and Hawley numbers are going to look like going forward. What is your sense about Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley and some of the damage that has been done to some of their credibility? As we talked to Nathan Gonzalez earlier in the show from Inside Elections, he said obviously they're not up in 2022, but there's been this clamoring on Capitol Hill to, you know, have them take the fall for what happened on January 6th.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that they have some cushion years in between their next election is probably going to play in their favor, because if they were up for election tomorrow, they almost certainly would go down pretty hard based upon the perception that they were somehow in some way responsible for the violence last week. You know, they're veteran politicians. They're smart guys. They know what they're doing. It's likely the fact that they're going to be able to turn those negative perceptions at least a little upward before their next election. Of course, in the end, time will tell, as will the polls.
Yeah. Is there any sense at all, Daniel? I know there's been some other polls out there about divisions in this country. And of course, we know we're not in the United States of America. Unfortunately, we're in the divided states of America. I just wonder about there's been talk about how maybe we should become two countries. I know people are, you know, laugh at that and everything, but and that's not the majority opinion. But at the same time, it just seems like we're getting to a crisis point every single day about where the direction of this country is headed. I think there's a lot of concern there.
Yeah, you know, we have a poll up at Just the News today showing that while about 62% of Americans do actually oppose any sort of national division, a shocking 25% of Americans of voters are supportive of that measure in some way. So, you know, 25% is not a majority. It's not, it's a quarter of all voters, but it's still a surprisingly large number. And it does speak to the really profound divisions and unhappy feelings among so many Americans today. So going forward in the Joe Biden era, it will be interesting to see if those numbers get worse, if they get better. Really, you can't say, just a few weeks before Biden takes office, you'll only be able to tell how that's turning after a while.
Yeah, speaking of division, by the way, we had Jordan Sekulow on earlier from the ACLJ who said that his sources are telling him 25 House GOP members may actually vote along with Democrats on impeachment on Wednesday, which is a shock to me. That's a shocking number, 25 or so. What is your sense about the consternation within the Republican Party right now on the Hill? Because it just seems like Kevin McCarthy and others have really got some work to do up there to keep that party together.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're seeing partly people who are dissatisfied with the president and who believe that he bears responsibility for the riot that occurred last week. Likely that large number, as you said, it's a really shocking number if it's true, also likely reflects political pressure. There is immense pressure on politicians to not just appropriately condemn that violence that occurred last week, but to lay it at the feet of the president. So when you see those huge numbers lining up in the GOP or materializing, coalescing around impeachment or removal of some kind, you can be pretty sure that at least part of that is driven by the fact that voices from every quarter are calling for those sorts of measures against the president. Whether or not those numbers will ultimately be enough to carry through an impeachment or removal, as again, remains to be seen in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, Daniel, before we let you go, what are you working on? What should people, if they go to justthenews.com, what are they going to see next to your name or some other stuff on the site?
You know, we're looking, of course, we're looking into all this controversy surrounding Capitol Hill, but we haven't forgotten about the pandemic. We have some interesting stories coming out this week about the pandemic numbers in Florida and California, the two most populous states in the nation, and how they're handling their respective outbreaks. So you look at that, you're going to get some good data and good information.
All right. Daniel Payne there with justthenews.com. Daniel, always great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Dave, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right. So that's Daniel Payne with justthenews.com. A little later in the show, we're going to have Nick Ballesy on from justthenews.com. Listen, we have a plethora of reporters, and I always like to use the word plethora. It sounds like I know what I'm talking about. And you know what? I do. I do know what I'm talking about. And speaking about knowing what I'm talking about, let's be clear and let's set the scene of what's going to happen. You've got Tuesday night. The House Democrats are going to take a vote to invoke the 25th Amendment and basically say, Mike Pence, you need to invoke the 25th Amendment. And that's not going to go anywhere because Mike Pence isn't going to do anything. And then Wednesday, the Democrats will have another vote, knowing full well that Mike Pence is not going to invoke the 25th Amendment. They'll have a vote on Wednesday regarding impeachment. And as we reported at the, or I shouldn't say we reported at the top of the show, but as Jordan Sekulow talked about at the top of the show, there could be up to 25 House GOP members that vote with the Democrats to impeach the president on Wednesday. That's a major number and a major story. We're back in a moment.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to the water cooler, everybody. I'm David Brody, in case you haven't noticed. I sure haven't. Look, so let's put up this headline from justthenews.com. It's about the 25th Amendment and what House Republicans are going to do. House Democrats are going to do tonight. They're going to vote tonight on a resolution calling for Mike Pence, the vice president, to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Donald J. Trump. Hey, not happening, FYI. No way. Let me be clear. the resolution is going to pass. You can bet on that. But Mike Pence isn't going to do anything with the 25th Amendment. We're going to talk more about that with Nicholas Ballesy, a senior correspondent with Just the News. Hey, Nick, always good to see you, sir.
Great to see you, David.
Well, what do you got? What's the latest from the Hill on all this 25th Amendment stuff?
So the House Democrats, they were casually talking about how the 25th Amendment should be invoked, that Pence should do it. They were talking about that last week, and they were kind of just informally throwing it around, saying if he doesn't do it, we'll move forward with impeachment, articles of our own. Now we're seeing a formal resolution calling on Pence to do that, invoke the 25th Amendment. It's introduced by Congressman Raskin. And so it mentions the riot at the Capitol as the reasoning behind it, and President Trump inciting the attendees to do what they did at the Capitol. That's what the resolution says. You can read the whole thing at justthenews.com. And so that's the most concrete action they're taking to date. But if Pence, like you said, doesn't act on the 25th Amendment, we can expect the House Democrats to push forward on the article of impeachment that they introduced yesterday and formally vote on it and get it passed over to the Senate. But the timing really doesn't line up here for House Democrats, because Trump has 8 days left in office, and it's very unlikely, highly unlikely, there'll be any sort of trial underway if they did this move, the House Democrats. It's very unlikely a trial will be underway anytime before Trump is done his presidency in the Senate. It's just not likely at this time.
Right. And there was talk about Chuck Schumer trying to invoke some sort of emergency procedure to bring the Senate back into session, like immediately. Have you heard anything about that?
The last I heard was McConnell telling his colleagues in the Senate that the earliest anything that could happen in terms of formal business would be January 19th in the Senate, which is a day before the inauguration. And then if, assuming the House passes an impeachment resolution, it wouldn't really, the earliest anything could get underway would be between the 19th and 20th. And then, of course, you got to go through the process of the trial. So it's a long shot here that anything will be done other than a symbolic act.
Right.
At this time, coming from the Democrats.
Right. And I should point out that my sources close to the vice president, as I work the phones this morning, telling me that there's no way that the vice president can invoke any sort of 25th Amendment. Then again, you'd have to have, what is it, 8 cabinet members actually to do it. But he's not going to even go there at all. So on this House impeachment vote tomorrow by the Democrats, I mean, is this a fait accompli? I mean, is this going to not only going to happen in terms of the vote happening, but they've got the votes to get this passed? They're going to impeach the president again, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, the House looks like they're going to move forward on that, and it's probably going to pass. I mean, I don't see a reason why it wouldn't. There's a lot of opposition in the House to Trump, and the Democrats control. So I think, you know, this is something that a lot of the progressives in the caucus have wanted to do for a long time, before they actually went and took the chance on the first impeachment. So I think this will definitely excite the base of the Democratic Party heading into Biden's presidency. But his whole agenda might really hit some roadblocks, because even though they are going to be running the Senate, the Democrats, they have such a slim majority, it's going to be hard to get a lot of these key pieces of legislation, big pieces of legislation Biden wants done, to actually come to fruition.
Well, it's interesting. So, yeah, it's a good transition to my next question about Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, who is in a very powerful position there with the slim majority that Democrats have in the House. And what's your sense of what McCarthy could be up to here? He's tried to kind of distance himself a little bit from Trump and also not totally throw him under the bus. This has been an interesting time for Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of influence, because the Republicans were able to pick up some seats in the House in the last election. And I think McCarthy, you know, he's got he's in a great position to influence legislation, I think, in the House, because of the amount of momentum the Republicans had going into this session. But then again, we'll see what effect this whole riot at the Capitol is going to have in general on the Republican brand, because a lot of them are in a tough spot. You know, obviously they're all denouncing what happened, the violence, but at the same time, you know, what's their relationship going to be like with Trump after all this is said and done and he's out of office? Because there's no doubt he's going to be influential, Trump, in the Republican Party. Will a lot of figures like McCarthy distance themselves further from Trump? We're just going to have to see. But in terms of legislation, McCarthy's in a great position, I think, to influence some of the bills that we might see in this session in the House.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Nathan Gonzalez was saying earlier in the show from Inside Elections, who was saying that basically, you know, you have to kind of figure out what Trump's space is going to be in the Republican Party going forward. Hey, before we leave, less than a minute left, Nick, but tell us a little bit about a story you're working on regarding the CDC. And by the way, I know a lot of folks can go and get everything you're reporting at justthenews.com, but tell us about it.
Yeah, so a story I'm following right now, and I've actually been following for months, is whether international travelers coming into the United States were being required to show a negative COVID test. This has happened in other countries. They have these requirements. A lot of smaller countries do. The U.S. didn't have such a requirement. I was trying to hammer down why this was the case, and if we had this requirement, maybe when it came to certain countries, international travelers. Never got a clear answer. The CDC was not giving me much information. And now I'm finding out from a Wall Street Journal report quoting sources in the CDC that they are going to adopt that kind of requirement now for all international travelers to show a negative test. Why they weren't doing this months ago during the pandemic is a question they really need to answer.
Well, Nick Ballesy on top of it, as always, on justthenews.com. Nick, always great to see you, sir. Appreciate it. Happy Tuesday. All right. Nick agrees with me. He said happy Tuesday. Trust me. I know he did. I mean, he just blew me off. I'm like, happy Tuesday. And I know he said something. Anyhow, all right. Coming up next, the last sip. We always love this part of the show because we kind of just get a little silly, but not when we come back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Time for the last sip. Hey, the president made some comments today before leaving for Texas, where he talked about how he doesn't want to see violence. He said it again. He's been saying it again and again and again. The media just doesn't pay attention to any of that. But here's what he said about that and impeachment.
As far as this is concerned, we want no violence, never violence. We want absolutely no violence. And on the impeachment, it's really a continuation of the greatest witch hunt in the history of politics. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. This impeachment is causing tremendous anger, and you're doing it, and it's really a terrible thing that they're doing. For Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to continue on this path, I think it's causing tremendous danger to our country, and it's causing tremendous anger. I want no violence. Thank you very much.
He's exactly right. First of all, I want no violence, right? We all can agree with that. That's not what I want to talk about here on the last sip. But he's right. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats and Chuck Schumer, look, they're creating something that doesn't need to be created. The violence that happened on January 6th, the thugs and all of those folks, they're despicable and it was horrible. And now you want to go ahead and pile on, if you will. All of a sudden, you're going to try and impeach the president for what? What's the point? I know the point. Okay, it's rhetorical. Hello. You don't want him to run for president again. You're hoping you can impeach him. And then you're hoping somehow, some way you can convict him in the Senate, which isn't going to happen. But you hope. And then you hope that therefore he doesn't run again in 2024. That's the real reason. I get it. But look, you keep talking, you Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC and the squad and all those folks. They keep talking about unity and they keep doing things that promote disunity. It's unbelievable. And the media, they are complicit in this as well, and they know it. They keep talking about negativity up the, and I'm going to say these words, yin-yang. They talk about negativity up the yin-yang when it comes to Trump. And so all of this is like a cauldron. Does Trump bear some responsibility for this? Absolutely. He was fanning the flames for years, let's be honest. And guess what? Some sickos, some crazies went ahead and acted on it. So absolutely he bears some responsibility for this. I'm not saying he doesn't. But let's also be clear, okay? You hear a lot in the media saying that Donald Trump called everybody to Washington, D.C. for a big march. No, he didn't. It was organized by Women for America First. He said he was going to show up and speak. This idea that he called people to march and then go to the Capitol and do it violently, he never said that either. He said, I want to march peacefully to the Capitol. I'm just trying to set the record straight. Back in a moment.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to the water cooler, everybody. End of the show, which is... It's really not exciting for me. So Sophie Mann is here. Here's why it's not exciting for me. Mm-hmm. Well, I get to stop talking, and I don't like that.
Okay.
But number two, I enjoy doing the show.
So those don't seem different.
No, they're really not. But I wanted to sound like
I had multiple
points.
Okay, I see what you're saying. The show is ending, and you don't like to stop talking.
Yeah, but thanks for dissecting my
comments. No, I'm sorry. That was my fault. But I gave you more of a chance to talk.
That's true. And
during my segment.
Well, I was about to say.
So you're welcome.
I was about to say, it's not my segment. I have plenty of segments.
Yes.
This is your segment.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have in your segment,
In
Sophie?
My segment. Well, we've got impeachment, which we know about. We're getting some reacts out of the Biden camp today. You know, I mean, the article singular was filed yesterday. Right. Congress is moving ahead. This is really a Pelosi-led effort, though we know that incoming Senate majority leader, Chuck Schumer is very much on board as well. But Joe Biden feels a little bit differently, reportedly. Hmm. So he is concerned, as you know, perhaps makes sense, that if impeachment is what is clogging up the systems of Congress during his first key days in office, you know, not only will his agenda, which he is so desperate to pass, including, you know, things that we're all worried about, the coronavirus pandemic, mm-hmm. the ailing American economy, but then also cabinet picks. He needs to get those through the Senate, and he wonders how much time is Congress going to be able to spend on those matters if they are busy retroactively impeaching the president, mm-hmm. you know, trying to remove a president who has already left office
right.
from office. And so in a sense, he's calling them out on this a little bit. He's saying symbolically, I hear you. This is my party. I understand where you're coming from. But like, let's look at this in a straightforward manner. And I wonder if this won't be sort of the first Pelosi-Biden division. I'm not, you know, it's unclear how close the two of them are as lawmakers, but I think that this could be a real moment of fragmenting before sort of the ball even gets rolling in a full Biden administration.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to watch what Biden does. But it does seem like it's just more examples of him just being the moderate or the center left guy that mm-hmm. he really is.
Yeah.
So.
And then also on the center left, you have Joe Manchin, who's saying
right.
that the Senate doesn't have the votes. The Senate won't vote to impeach Trump. So even if they get this through the House, which it looks as though they will, mm-hmm. the Senate will not be able to carry that torch all the way through. And, you know, why are we doing this at all?
And Manchin also says, I'm not packing the courts
yeah.
either.
Which is
he might be packing heat, by the way, but he's not packing the
okay.
course.
Unconfirmed.
Well, he's from West Virginia.
Yeah, that's true. Where Trump is popular still,
that's
so
right.
he needs to toe the line.
I think I just stereotyped with West Virginia packing heat. But anyway, I gotta run.
You gotta run.
I
gotta jog. I'll see you later.
Good to see you.
Bye.
Jason Miller on the show tomorrow. Rick Green as well. We'll see you tomorrow.